All right. Can you read a few things for me, Dave? Can you? Will you? I didn't ask you beforehand, so I'm kind of throwing it on, so I'm sorry. But okay, that says that. It didn't say that here. All right. So, let's try this one more time. Y'all get a nap? Any naps? None? No naps. I had a whole 4 or 5 minutes. I feel like a new man, Kenneth. I feel fantastic. All right. So, I know this works on that laptop back there. Not sure if it's going to work here. We're going to try it. But it's okay. What? All right, everybody. We're good. Everybody, hold your breath and say a prayer. All right, we good? So we're going to go over tonight this idea of the comparison technique. Now, you're going to see it as well as possible from way back here on the small screen up front. There's going to be writing on it. If you want to see it clearly, we can all move down front. But seeing as that you're probably not going to want to do that, this is the next best option. So I do want to say that I put the website address up there because this will now be on the website for y'all to go and have reference to, and you can actually look at it, because this technique is very good, but it requires you to have a few things memorized, just a few things, not very many things, just a few. So we're going to talk about that tonight with our evening worship service, about this comparison technique. And so if you're going to have it, you need like a sheet of paper and a Bible. But just like a New Testament, you could have a small one in your pocket you could use. This is for when you don't have a long time to talk to somebody about the gospel. Maybe you have one chance, and you don't have an hour or 2 hours yet, maybe a half hour. And you're going to use this, and I've seen it used very effectively, so I've witnessed it, so I know it's good. Some of y'all remember Bobby Bates when he was in Stephenville. Y'all remember that name, Bobby Bates? He developed this when he was teaching in Bear Valley. He was up there teaching evangelism back in the day. And so he came with this method that is very quickly can show someone about what it means to be baptized into Christ. So if someone's already a believer in God and believes the Bible, but doesn't believe that baptism is necessary, you just have to have some kind of faith, and that's all it takes, this idea of a sinner's prayer, this is perfect for them. And so it may help you. It may increase your faith here tonight. Maybe notes you can jot down or go to the website after the lesson's already uploaded. You can use that for a kind of way to go study. So here's what you do. You take the person's name. In this case, it's Joe. And you draw Joe in a stick figure or whatever. If you're a great artist, you can draw better. But I know the thing Bobby would say was, here are Joe, you're real skinny, right? And so here you are, Joe, you're your stick figure. And so next, you say, Joe, how are you saved? And beneath Joe, the stick figure, you would write a detailed account of their salvation. You would write where it was, when it was. If they give you details about what they were wearing, write it all down, right? You write down exactly how they tell you they were saved. You write down, they say, it was here, I did this, at this time. Write down whatever they tell you. Now, at this point, this takes to 7 things you need to memorize. 7 things. Now, this should already think what you know about a few verses about salvation, right? But you write 1 through 7 at the top. You can just write down 1. And so, well, Joe, then you would say you're saved. Yes, I'd say that. So you write down number 1, saved. So, Joe, you'd also say number 2, that you had your sins remitted, right? Yeah, I'd write that down. Remitted, that's what that means. You would also say your sins are washed away. If you're saved, right, you'd say that. Your sins are washed. Yeah, okay. So number 4, you would say you have a good conscience toward God, that you have your conscience toward God is clear. All right, so we're at the number four. Number five, would you say you're also a new creature? Because you're saved, you're a new creature, right? So you write that down. Yeah, okay. And so you would say number six, and so if you're saved, you would say you're in Christ. Yeah, I'd say that. All right, in Christ. Number seven, now, Joe, would you also say you have a new walk? That your walk is different now? You now walk in Christ, you now walk Him, so you have a new walk. Yeah, I'd say that. Okay. So then, on your piece of paper, you then go to the right of Joe a bit. You draw a baptistry or something which indicates water, right? In this case, it's a symbol, a baptistry with some wavy line on it. And so you draw that and just go to the next thing, which is, when were you baptized exactly? Now, the other question might have been the details. He might have told you when, may not, right? He probably wouldn't even mention baptism. He's going to mention how he was saved. Now you ask, after you do the baptistry, you ask, okay, so when were you baptized? And he may say, well, I was baptized a month later when we had a baptismal ceremony. Or maybe I was at camp, so we were baptized into that week. Or maybe even that night. Maybe four or five hours, whatever it was. Just write it down. And because he told you he was saved but didn't mention baptism. This is people who don't understand the baptism has any part of salvation, right? And so when were you baptized? You write that down. I was baptized 2 weeks after I was saved. Okay, great. And just go on and say, okay, so under your little baptistry, you go and draw number one. Number you have one through seven up here. Now you have one down here. And under one, you do what? You write down Mark 16, 15 to 16, right? And hopefully if they know the verses, they probably don't know them, you'll have a little Bible there, you can read it. Maybe even your phone, if you have a scripture on your phone you can use. Or you can have read Mark 15, 16 if you would.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
Okay, so he who believes and baptized shall be saved. So you have the word saved there. What you do is you draw from number one back around and put the arrow into the baptistry. All you're doing is saying, listen, these people were saved, but they were baptized, right? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So you don't stop there, though. You go and up the top, above these three verses, you might need them, might not. Bobby used them very effectively when he taught this. Because all these three verses talk about is the gospel being the power of God to salvation, right? That's what Romans 1:16 says, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he says, you are saved if you stand in the gospel. If you stand in the gospel that you've received, if you stand in that, then you're saved. So it's the idea of also being in the gospel, being of the gospel. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 8, he says, you can avoid God's wrath if you what? Know God and have obeyed the gospel. All right? That's what he says. So those three verses tell you, okay, obeying the gospel is a real thing, right? You have to obey the gospel. Whatever that means, you have to obey the gospel. So it's something you actually do, not just something you feel. It's something you do, right? You obey the gospel. Then after that, you can come back down and you have this illustration. You're still on point one. But all you're making this where you just go the next part very quickly. All right? So these illustrations are very good. Because remember in Mark 16, you said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So what you point out with this illustration, it's very simple. It's two box cars. You draw a couple wheels. You want to illustrate being a car. And you put an and between the two cars and say, this illustrates how you're joining the cars together with like a pin that connects the cars, right? And what and does, it's a conjunction which connects two things of equal weight and equal parts. So when one goes one way, so does the other. It follows, right? Because they're connected, right? If they're tied together, one train car goes one way, it's tied to the train car, which makes it go that same way. Is that clear? Does that make sense? That's the reason for a very simple illustration. And you say, if one goes this way, so is that one. So you put B&B, he that believes and is baptized. And if those go in the same direction, right? So wherever belief goes, baptism goes. They're tied together. The train car is tied together with these pins. And your conjunction, that's the pin. Okay? So you've set all that up. And next, you go down and where your baptistry is, and you try number two. And you say, you write down remission sins. But you write down also Acts 2:38, which says what, Dave?
Then Peter said unto them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So when you read that verse, you say, well, we said there remission of sins, right? So you draw your arrow under the baptistry all the way back around into the water. Because remission of sins is not also now, remission of sins is now tied to what? Baptism. You see what we're doing here? And so then you go and say, well, okay, let's bring this to number three. You said if you were saved, you'd have your sins washed away. Let's look at Acts 22:16. Acts 22:16 says what, Dave?
And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
So then you draw from number three all the way around into where? The baptistry, that's right. And so, okay, you go to number four, which is 1 Peter 3:21, and say, well, you said you have a good conscience toward God, right? Your conscience is soothed if you're saved. Okay, so what's 1 Peter 3:21 say, Dave?
There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God.
Okay, so where does that come? Well, when we're baptized, we're not just taking off water. We're actually doing what God said to do, where we have a good conscience toward God when we're baptized into Christ. So we're baptized. Baptism doth also not save us. So you draw a circle or draw a line from number four all the way back around into the baptistry, right? And so that's where, again, this salvation you're talking about is tied to also being baptized. Number five, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, which says, in Christ we're a new creation. In Christ we're a new creature, right? And so he said, up here he said, if you're saved, you're a new creature. Well, what's 2 Corinthians 5:17 saying, Dave?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
All it says there is that you're in him, right? So you may not draw the circle. You might not draw the line back around yet. You're just saying, okay, if you're in him, okay, so you're in him. So let's go to number six. Number six is Galatians 3:27, which says what, Dave?
For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
So you're baptized into Christ. So now you can go back and say, okay, remember number five? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? It says what? If you're in Christ, you're what? Your new creature, right? So you draw that line back into the baptistry, and then you go to the next one, number six, and says, well, we're baptized into Christ. So you put on a cross by being baptized into Christ. So that's how it works. So you draw another line back right into the baptistry, right? So we're doing these things. We connected now five and six together, which brings us to number seven. And it's this idea of a new walk. You have a new walk in Christ. Dave?
Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection.
So you draw a line back around into the baptistry. Why? Because what comes before the new walk? Baptism. Baptism is your way into this new walk. So you draw that line. So this is all your lines. And you draw this new walk idea. And I think I put one too many there. So now over the water, you draw a stick figure, picture of the cross, and maybe try and put the man on the cross. Of course, it's Jesus. And have maybe put a crown on his head. You can't see this very well. I tried to contrast the black and the white with the gray, so you might be able to see it very well. But it's a picture of a man, a sick man on the cross. And then after you draw this picture with your fine artistic skills, right, it'd be fantastic. Then you go and put, well, do you remember John 19? Now, it says 17. That's a misprint. My apologies. It's supposed to be John 19, 31 through 34. Now, you might not need to go read this. You may say, well, Joe, do you remember that there were three crosses, and Jesus was on one, and the soldiers came around, and they were going to break his legs because they didn't want bodies hanging up on the cross through the night because they had a holiday coming up the next day. And so when they came to him, they saw he was dead, didn't break his legs. Instead, they took a spear, they pierced his side, and Joe, what came forth from that wound? If he does, he may know, because it's fairly common scripture, that well, blood and water flowed forth, right? And if you didn't know it, you have it read. But that's what the scripture says, John 19, 31 through 34 is what's there. So you draw the picture of this blood and water coming down from Christ's side into the water. The water and the blood flow forth in his death. That's the point. So then you say, well, go back to Romans 6, 3 through 5. It says what? And you read it again. What's it say again, Dave?
Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
Baptized into his death, where in his death the water and the blood flowed from Jesus' side. And so you draw a picture showing the benefits of Jesus' death, where the blood flowed from his side, the blood and water flew from his side, and you saw that's where the benefits were in his death, right? And so with that, you go on to say, well, looking at the same verse again, read it one more time.
Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So we're buried with him. And if we're buried with him, we shall rise with him. So the idea of being accessing the power of the death of Christ is talked about in this verse, being the new walk is also being in him, the new walk in Christ. So if we're buried with him, we have the new life with. So you write the burial in the water, but the new life outside the water, on the other side of the water. That's where the new life comes, right? It's on the other side. And so then you're not done with this verse yet, because what you point out is you write this in big letters in the water. If, because Dave, we just saw an if, didn't we see an if in there? Read that if again one more time.
The whole thing?
Well, the last part's fine.
Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the death For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection.
For if we've accessed the power of the blood in baptism, then what? We can have the new walk. That all happens in Christ, and we're in Christ by being baptized into Christ. So all these things, I've already said these seven things up here, the seven things. And now you've repeated the seven things, but now you've added a Bible verse to each one. You've added Bible verses to them, right? And each time you go through a Bible verse, you draw back a line around into the baptistry. And I've used this a couple times, but if you don't use it for a while, you got to kind of bone up on it if you want to use it again, because it takes a few memory things, right? But this is very effective, and they use this at Bear Valley all the time, at least back in the day when Bobby taught it. It was very, very effective. And so at this point, when you go through the if and you go through the new life and the benefits of the blood and the water being shed in the death, and now you're going through the burial to have the new life. Then you go back up to the top and says, where he says, I was baptized, say, 2 weeks after I was saved. You go up there and you circle it. And you say, now you say you did this, but all these verses say this. And you say that, and you just let it hang. For those of you that do Bible studies, this is the hardest part. When you come to the end, you have to let it hang. Because whoever speaks first, that's very, very important. So you're not trying to talk them into anything. If we think we're trying to save people by talking them into something, we're doing it wrong. You present the truth to them, and you present the contrast to them, and let them work it out. If that's a question, answer the question. But you've given them all the things they need. So you let it hang. Let it hang for a while and just be quiet. If several minutes go by, say, okay, now you said this, but we read this. And just be quiet again. Just let it hang. Because what we have to do is we have to decide for ourselves to come to God's truth. Now, we can answer questions, they ask questions, but it's the Bible that saves us. It's God's word that converts us, not us talking someone into it. Let's say that works. Let's say that you, because you have a fast tongue, far faster and more eloquent than mine, and you can just say that, you can just talk to people, you can talk around and, hey, sure, I'm going to be baptized, because you talk me too, and I'm going to be baptized. Okay. What happens a few weeks later when they are unsure now? Well, the fact is you talked them into it. They didn't come to it on their own. You did that, so they're way more likely to walk out of the back up. But this is very important. When it comes to a Bible study, the three books we use, or the one book doesn't matter, or just this. When you get to the end of the idea of what conversion is, and they come to the verse where they realize they're lost, you just got to stop and let them just be comfortable with silence. And this is hard, right? But you got to let them come and make the decision. Well, now you said you were saved here. We wrote that down. But all these things, now what? Right? So you got to let them do that. And so what you do is you go back after some time passes, maybe seconds, maybe a minute or more. You just simply write, on one side of the water is lost, on the other side of the water is saved. Now, all this is really very simple. Requires only seven verses. Now, the verses about obeying the gospel are important, but they're not necessarily. There are Romans 1:16 and 1 Corinthians 15, right? And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Those are helpful for reference for them because they get the paper after you're done, right? Hopefully they'll obey the gospel, and when they obey the gospel, you say, how are we going to go to the baptistry, your car or mine? That's what you say, right? That's how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? I'll drive or you drive, whatever. Let's go do it. But they have to come on their own. But this simply shows the importance of baptism. Now, someone believes the Bible but doesn't understand this point. It's very effective. But just like the three booklets are for those who believe the Bible, for someone who doubts the Word of God being the Word of God, are those three books very effective? No, they don't believe the Bible. That's why Rob came out with the addendum set, believe the Bible. Now, I think maybe even as good or better set for that approach is the one that AP puts out, Apologetic Express, which is a longer version of why we believe the Bible, which gives way more in-depth knowledge about why we can believe the Bible, gives a lot more information. But again, if someone's like on the brink of saying, well, I don't know, my family believes the Bible, I don't know if I should or not, that's where the three books of Believe the Bible come in very handy. Does that make sense? But if someone's like, the Bible's a bunch of rubbish, it's ridiculous, that's where you go back to something like, we've got to establish the Bible's the Word of God. And going through the Apologetics Press information maybe better. Because what Rob does and the books we have in the back that call Believe the Bible are very basic and very simple. And just they're going to nudge someone in the way of, well, you know what? I guess I do believe the Bible. Makes good sense, right? There's things here that make sense to me. The Bible's right. So there are different levels to start at. If someone believes the Bible and they're You don't have very long to teach them, because this will convince them of baptism, but nothing else. This will not convince them about the church. This won't convince them about worship or Bible authority. Those things are important. So take time to go through those if you have a chance. But if you have just if you're at Thanksgiving, and you have the cousin or whatever that doesn't believe that you're having any sense about this, take them through this. It's very effective. In just like a half hour or less, you can say, listen, this is what the Bible says. Again, you have 7 verses memorized. That's all you need is 7. By the way, do you notice that the order doesn't really matter? The order doesn't really matter in the verses. The only place that matters is where you get to the being in Christ and being a new creature. That's the only one you need to get right. You need to have those follow each other, right? Because you go to the next one, because what happens is you're building up a kind of, because when you write down the numbers, okay, number 1, Mark 16:16, and you get to 2, 3, and 4, because they're feeling now, they're like, oh, I'm just going to find out something else is going on. We've got a baptism again, right? And then you come to the one that says, your new creature in Christ doesn't mention baptism. So it gives them a breather. I get to breathe. Then the next one says what? You're baptized into Christ. Oh, now you draw both the circles or both the lines. And so, oh, it gets both of them again. So you give them kind of a breather when it comes to being a new creature in Christ. But you see, oh, both those refer to baptism because you're in Christ. Oh, I get it. So that order matters. Those two matter a little bit. But if you get like, if you get 1 Peter 3:21 mixed up with Mark 16, doesn't really matter a whole bunch, right? It helps if you use the illustration of the boxcars as showing both the same direction. That's good. That's important. But you can add that later if you want to. So this is a very effective and very simple way. And listen, I've used this, and I know you have to go over it before you use it to make sure it's in your head properly. But if you can't have reference, not just, you don't have to quote it, just have a reference in your mind. Okay, this is Mark 16:16, SX 2:38, this is 1 Peter 3:21. If you can't have that in your head about these, what these basic principles teach, these verses teach, you got to work on that. We're not talking about having it a Bible memorized, we're talking about 7 verses. Not even quoting the verses, but having them in your head so you know what they say, so you can have a Bible to look them up. Because unless you can quote it, unless they believe you, helps to have your phone or a little pocket testament. How many have a pocket testament? Those used to be a big thing, but we now have our phones and our Bibles and our phones, so we don't use them as much. But I remember when everyone had one in their back pocket, right? You have a pocket testament. And so you could take one and use that. And the preachers still carry them with them all the time, regardless. They have them in their hip pocket, and they'll have their pocket testament. And so you can have that, and you can use it. But this is a very simple approach. And I want to give a slide. So I tried to kind of make part of the slide bigger so you could see it from where you are. But this is what the whole thing should look like. You need like a half sheet of paper. Not even a whole sheet of paper. Half sheet of paper will do this just fine. Because you're hopefully sitting at a table with somebody, right? Where you can have just a pen. I think Bobby said he often used, one time he used just a pen in his pocket and a napkin on the table. He got a napkin. You can draw this on a napkin. It's very simple, very easy. And so you can use this and be very effective. Now, again, you may say, well, if I have a friend, a loved one, I just want to take them through the 3 books or maybe the Believe the Bible and the Back to the Bible. That's fine. But just to start a conversation about it, if someone believes the Bible, in general speaking, this is fantastic. In fact, the original name for the conversion technique was what? Do you remember? The Baptist Trap. And again, that name got changed because some people didn't like the name. But the idea was it's a perfect trap for those who believe the Bible in general, but have this big problem with the idea of being baptized. But I want you to know and understand the baptism is not the step of salvation. It's one of 5, right? Baptism without repentance means nothing. Baptism without faith means nothing, right? The idea, all this idea of belief, repentance, and confession, those are all necessary things. So if I believe and I can be baptized, but I will not confess Jesus, well, that's not going to work either, right? But what we see, this isn't arbitrarily five steps. This is just simply saying, listen, it's how these things work together. If I believe in God, I want to follow his word, and that leads me to the idea of I'm going to repent of my sins, I'm going to confess Jesus as my Lord, then the final step from that is being baptized into Christ. And the last step of salvation, baptism is not the last one. What's the last one? Be faithful unto death to receive the crown of life. That's the step we're all in right now, right? And so it's just a process, but it's a process that most people religiously in America have been just taught wrong on. They've been taught wrong by people they love, by people they trust. And so the idea is to get people to see, listen, if all these things mean you're saved up here, and all these things have the same words in them but have baptism as the thing you go through first, then where does that put you? It's very effective at taking that view and trying to make it very clearly illustrated. And I think it does that very well. So this should be on the website after this is published when we get done tonight. So you can go there. Plus, I have this in PDF format if you want it. If you want it personally, you just want it on your phone or you have it at home, you can print it out. We can actually we can print them out if you want them to look it that way. But this is the comparison technique. And there we have the comparison technique. If you have any questions about this, you can talk to me after the lesson. We'll sit down and draw it out with you or talk to you about it further. But that's the lesson we have for tonight. I hope it's been helpful to you in some way. Trying to build in you more confidence about God's plan of salvation. Hopefully that's been useful for you tonight. But if you have a need to not to respond to the invitation in any way, I want to say, before we have a song, I appreciate you being here tonight. I appreciate you coming together again for a second time today or a third time, including Bible class, to come together and spend that time together meditating on God's word together. Because this is good for us to spend this time together and think about God's word together, talk about it, work things out a bit. And it's good for you. It's good for everybody. It's good for me to see you here, to see you care enough to come and be a part of our evening service. It's fantastic. So thank you for being here. And if you have a need tonight for anything, prayers of the church or be restored, would you please come as we stand and sing this hymn?